You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
I was driving to a theater once on the interstate, and as I was getting close to my exit, where I was literally 2 miles from my destination, which was about 5 minutes, I noticed several barriers on the road with arrows flashing, the lanes narrowing down to one lane. This all was accompanied by the sign that read, "Detour ahead. Exit now." This led me 7 miles out of the way and added about 20 minutes to my trip in a situation where I was only 5 miles away, or 5 minutes. And at first, I was a bit frustrated and agitated and irritated because now I was going to be late for my show. You know how we get when we get stuck in traffic. Meanwhile, as I was journeying on my detour, I realized that I came up on an exit that I had never come up on before. And I had passed it 1,000 times before. But I began to see things, like I noticed a nice park off to the side that had a bike and running trail that I had never noticed before. I noticed this park had beautiful scenery with waterworks and exquisite nature scenes. Then I noticed a fancy Italian restaurant off to the side that I had never seen before. Finally, when I arrived to the theater, it was there that a car was pulling out of a good parking space just as I was pulling up. But wait, there's more. I went inside to go and pay for my ticket, and the credit card machine was malfunctioning, and I didn't have enough cash, and so the attendant said, "Go ahead, you just go in for free." So when I finally settled down and my thoughts settled within me, brothers and sisters, it was then that I realized that my detour had been a blessing in disguise. It opened me up to unfamiliar places that I otherwise may not have ever known. It granted me blessings that I otherwise may not have ever received. In a like manner, my brothers and sisters, I submit to you this day that in the exact same way, God has placed some of you on a detour. He has put up some roadblocks in your life that has forced you into a single lane of traffic. It is God's way of making you take some exits in life that you otherwise may not have ever taken. Because God wants to show you some things that you've never seen. And he wants to bless you in a way that you have never been blessed before. Therefore, I say to you, don't despise the detour. There are detours in life's journey. But know this, my brothers and sisters. Many detours are divinely inspired. That's why for a little while this morning, I want to preach from this subject, divine detours. Divine detours. From Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. You'll find these words recorded. I'm reading from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And it reads this way in my Bible, Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 and 18. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and he shall carry up my bones away hence. Verse 20, and they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them in a day by a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar in the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. The Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy and inspired word. Let the church shout out, amen. Amen. Three times in these six verses, we find references to God leading his people. They were being led by a cloud and by fire, but God was leading his people. And then we see in verse 17, verse 18, and verse 21, three different ways that God was leading his people. And so we discover from these references that there are places that God leads you from. And then there are places that God leads you through. And then there are places that God leads you to. How many people know that God can lead you from the danger of your enemies? While at the same time, he can lead you through the wilderness and the Red Sea circumstances in your life. And he can lead you to victory. Dr. Joe Gregory shared in the sermon three wonders and mysteries of the world. They are a testament of God's leading grace and power. He first mentions a small bird known as the Arctic tern. The Arctic tern lives 7 degrees south of the North Pole. And every year it flies 11,000 miles to Antarctica, but then it returns right back to the exact same location. And this phenomenon has mystified bird experts for years, but it is a sign of God's guidance. Secondly, there are fish which have the ability that's similar to this, in particular, the fish known as the North Atlantic salmon. It has the ability to swim 4,000 miles in the ocean and then years later find its way back right to the same home river. God leads fish. But then, some of you have dogs that you left at home this morning. And we know that dogs have this ability to find their way back home even when you take them thousands of miles away. Eventually, the dog knows how to find his way right back home. Trying to say something here, my brothers and sisters. I'm trying to say that if God leads birds And if God leads fish, and if God leads dogs, surely he leads man. Such was the case with this chosen people, Israel. They had been enslaved by the Egyptians and Pharaoh for 430 years. Israel endured 43 generations of slavery, but God miraculously delivered them through the hand of Moses. That's the scene of our text today. Israel is on the verge of fleeing Egypt, and in an extraordinary way, they are experiencing the supernatural guidance of God, leading them to the place of freedom. What we have that happened here, my brothers and sisters, is actually the pinnacle of Israel's history. For God delivered more than 600,000 Israelites from Hebrew slavery in one night, and he killed an entire army. It is through these extraordinary acts of guidance, in the absence of scripture, in the absence of God's indwelling spirit, that we learn how God guides in extraordinary ways, as well in ordinary ways. So let me ask you a question this morning. How does God guide us? Well, we first have to consider how that he first guides us through his holy word. If you want to know what God is saying to you, open the book. And more than 90% of the cases, you will find what God is saying and how he's guided. We know that God sometimes speaks through other people. We know that he deals with our conscience. He speaks through his Holy Spirit. But God also, he speaks to us through our circumstance. And here is an expression of circumstance that we see played out in the text. It is the circumstance of detour. God will sometimes guide you by putting you on a detour. So let's consider these 3 points regarding a detour and how that they are sometimes divinely inspired. From the text, we first of all notice concerning the detour that it started with a destination, followed by direction. And then we see the definition. What is the purpose of all this? So first of all, when you look in verse 11, you see the destination that they had in mind. And verse 11 says, "And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and unto thy fathers, and shall give it thee." The destination is they were trying to get to the promised land. But notice the language of verse 11. It says things like, "It shall be." And then it says, "When." And then it says, "He swear." And then it says, "He shall give it to thee." When God uses language like this, my brothers and sisters, it is language of guarantee. And how many people know that God has a destination for your life as well? And the destination that God has for your life often comes with the same kinds of guarantee. If God promises a certain destination, he'll make sure that you get there. It doesn't matter what your circumstances say. If God said, "This is your destination," that's where you'll end up. It doesn't matter what your haters say or what your finances say or what your health says or what negative people say. It doesn't matter what the devil says. If God says this is your destination of promise, it doesn't matter come hell or high water. The living, the dead, or the unborn can't stop the destination that God has established for your life. You will arrive there. Watch this. In just the right time, in just the right way, you will arrive. Because God promised. It doesn't matter what comes up in between the destination, you'll get there. The destination has been set like a grid coordinates in your GPS. You know how you put the GPS destination in there. And sometimes when you get to riding and talking on your cell phone, say amen, and get to texting and driving, and you need to stop that. And sometimes when you have people in the car, maybe you got babies in the car and all these distractions around you, you may not pay attention to where the GPS is telling you to go. But even though you don't pay attention, when you drift off the wrong course, what happens is it says recalculate. Because the destination has been established. And in the same way, brothers and sisters, God has calculated a destination on the inside of you. And even though distractions have caused you to drift off the path, you will end up where God wants you to be because he will recalculate. A few weeks ago, Reverend Willis came to preach at our church's anniversary. He preached up a storm. I brought the construction bill with me today. We're still under construction since he tore it up, that place. But he shared with us something about the road runner and the coyote. And it got me to thinking how the coyote wanted to kill that road runner and eat him some lunch. You remember how that the coyote used to use bombs, TNT. Used to use those big old rocks, and stuff would be flying all over the place, bombs and dynamite, and the roadrunner kept surviving. Reverend Willis told us that's because survival was in the script. And in the same way, my brothers and sisters, God's destination for our life is in the script, and you will end up in there no matter what. Israel once was on the verge of their first taste of freedom, not sure which way to go or which way to turn. But then we see God comes in and he guides them in unusual way, which leads to my second point. First of all, we see that even though there are detours, you'll still end up at your destination. But secondly, we see that in the midst of the detour, God gives direction because the cloud was leading them. The fire was leading them. But look at the strange direction in which the cloud and the fire led them. Verse 17, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, watch this, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. He says, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Watch this. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Interesting. There were two ways for the children of Israel to get out of Egypt. The very first way was the shortcut. It was logical and it was obvious, but the Bible says that God did not go that way, even though it was near. For if they had gone that direct route, it was by the way of the sea, which was about a 5 days journey northeast to the southern borders of the promised land. And if they had marched at a pace of about 20 miles a day, they could have arrived in less than a week. But yet, God sent them on a detour. He sent them south, down to the Sinai Peninsula by the arm of the Red Sea. Now, considering the fact that there were 600 plus people, considering the fact that they had been enslaved for over 400 years, considering the fact that they had women and small children and animals, considering that they only needed, they could have got there in 5 days traveling, it would only seem logical and obvious that they would take the most direct route. But God chose another way. And God chose the way that was not direct. God chose the way that was not logical. And he took them in the opposite direction than where they needed to go. They needed to go northeast. But God sent them on a detour south through the Sinai Peninsula by the wilderness of the Red Sea. Now, how many times in your life have you ended up in just the opposite place where you were trying to go? How many people know that God doesn't always take you on the direct route? But he will use circumstance, because sometimes there are witnesses here today who will testify and say that sometimes God will take you south in order to take you north. God will sometimes take you down in order to take you up. God will sometimes take you out in order to bring you in. God will sometimes wound you in order to heal you. Am I in the right church today? Am I preaching to any real folks? God will sometimes break you in order to fix you. God will sometimes take you backwards in order to take you forwards. I wish I had a praying church this morning. God will sometimes make you crooked in order to make you straight. God will sometimes empty you out in order to fill you up. God will sometimes tear you down in order to build you up. And how many times have you found yourself on a road going south when you need to go north? God will sometimes send you on a detour. My life has gone in different directions than I thought it would. When I was in high school, I used to dream of being a mortician. But I found out it was a pretty dead job. People were dying to get into it. And God had a different plan for my life. But then I remember when I got twinkly-eyed about going to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Washington, D.C., I remember going to visit the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and seeing that soldier with his dress blues on, clicking his heels, marching back and forth, rolling his shoulders as he went back and forth. And then I got a twinkle in my eye about going to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And I tried everything to get in there, but something prevented me from going all the time. And now that the years have passed, as I thought about the journey that may have taken me on, it would have landed me at the Arlington Cemetery in Washington, D.C. Different circumstance, different people. And if that had happened, I never would have come back to Detroit and stayed for 12 years while God prepared me to go to Tennessee to pastor at the Walnut Grove Missionary Baptist Church. God had a different plan for my life, and so he sent me on detour, even though it broke my heart, even though it put tears in my eyes. There are things that God will lead you from for your own good. Some of you would, if you would be honest enough, you'll say there are some people you tried to marry and you wanted to, you were so in love, but God sent you on a detour, and now you're saying hallelujah every day. There are some people that you got sick right away, detour. You wasn't expecting that. There's some people that had a surprise death to come up of somebody that you love. They were a key person in your life. And now you had to develop a new normal and learn how to live without this person that you love and that was so instrumental in your life. God has sent you on a detour. Surprises will come in life. Promotion, demotion, cancer, and all these things will send you on a detour. I'm reminded of a pastor friend who he and his wife, they were both in their 50s. They had three children that they sent off. They just all graduated high school, all the children on their way to college. And here they are ready to enjoy the fruit of their labor and enjoy the emptiness. No more children all in our mix. And I guess they enjoyed themselves too much because she ended up pregnant. At 50 years old, God sent her on a detour. Some people have experienced accidents and incidents that have sent your life spiraling in a direction you never thought it would go. But I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that these detours are divinely inspired. It may not be where you want to be or where you thought you would go, but somewhere in the midst is the hand of a living God. Detours will get to the destination. Detours will take you in directions you didn't think you would go. But detours have a definition, which leads to my final point. For we notice in verse 17, as he describes the journey again, he said God didn't lead them, and he tells the reason why. He says, by the land of the Philistines that was near, because God said the people would repent when they see war and return to Egypt. So God said, I can't send them that way. But then God led the people about through the Red Sea of the wilderness, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of the Red Sea. So here's the question that we want to raise as we develop this. Why does God allow detours? There are three reasons that we see from our reading why God allows detours in the first place. The reason that God allows detours in the first place is because you don't have the guts to go on a direct route. And so when God sends you on the detour, he sometimes is just protecting you. How many people know that God protects you from danger seen and unseen? Because the text reveals that there was a fierce enemy, an army in the form of the Philistines that would have caused them to go back into bondage. And then we see when we get to chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, when Pharaoh's army was on their track, they showed their weakness and began to blast out Moses. In other words, if they were afraid of a second-rank army, how could they have handled the Philistines if they couldn't even handle that second-rank army? And so one of the reasons that God sends you on detours sometimes, brothers and sisters, is because you're not ready to handle what's on the direct route. And so God has got to spend some time fixing you up and getting you ready for the next thing. God knows your limitations and he will protect you. Things that God protects you from is actually dictating the direction that he's leading you in. There's another reason that he sent them on a detour. It was not only because they didn't have the guts, but it was also because God needs to get the glory. How many people know God won't share his glory with anybody? If they had gone the direct way, then they would have said, we did it by our own power. They would have said, look at what we did by our might and power. But as God took them on detour, where they were in a situation where they didn't have food, and they found out that God can rain quail from heaven. They were in a situation where they had no water, and they found out God can draw water from a rock. They were in a situation where their clothes needed to be replaced, but yet they never wore out, and so they got to wear the same clothes for 40 years. And even though they were marching for miles and for miles, all they could say is God did it. And I know you don't understand why God has you on a detour in your life right now, but it's so that God can humble you to show you that it really ain't about you in the first place.
when God get finished with you on this detour, you're not going to be standing around bragging, saying, look what I've done by pulling myself up by my own bootstraps. You're not going to be able to brag about your money because God put you in a situation that your money can't get you out of. You won't be able to brag about how strong you are because God put you in a situation where the only strength you had was the strength of the Lord. And God knows how to put you in a situation that your education can't get you out of, that your looks and your connections can't get you out of, so that all you can say is, God did it. Anybody ever been in a God did it situation? I know you don't understand the detour that's going on in your life. But if God hadn't sent them on a detour, they wouldn't know of his wonderful provisions. I know you don't like being sick, but the songwriter said, if I was never sick, how would I know that he could heal me? If I never had a broke day, how would I know that he's a provider? If I never been in a fix where I didn't know how, if it was a way to be made, but I found out he can make a way out of no way. God puts you on detour so he can show you another dimension of himself. And so for 40 years, they walked on shoes that never wore out. Clothes that never wore out. They were on a trackless path, but guess what? God was their compass. And if they had gone the straight, direct route, then it would not have been a story of God's miraculous provision. After they saw what he did in the Red Sea. And so if it were not for the detour, God couldn't get the glory. But finally, without a detour, then you wouldn't grow. How many people know that God is in the business of building character? And he's more concerned about your character than he is about your on-time arrival. And if your character is not developed, what sense would it make to take you to a new place? It's better to arrive later with character than it is without. I never shall forget how hard it was to get through college. Some of you sprinted right through college. You got your bachelor's degree in 3.5 years, and you walked across the stage. They called your name. They were saying stuff like magna cum laude and summa cum laude and valedictorian and all this stuff. When I walked across the stage, they just said my name and didn't say nothing else. But when I walked across the stage, I said, thank you, Lordy. Because it took me 8 years to finish a 4-year degree. But through those 8 years, God was building character and he was testing my endurance. He was showing me what I was made of, and he put stuff in me that can endure other stuff. And that's why sometimes God will send you on detour so he can develop your character. Some of you don't have the kind of faith with the tenaciousness that you need, and that's why God put you in a situation to test it, to prove it, to shape you, and to make you so that when you come out, you're pure gold. Because your faith means nothing until it has been tested in the crucible of human suffering. God is not concerned about your on-time arrival as much as he's concerned about building character in your life. It's better to arrive late with character than early without. In 40 years, God had time to instruct them, to test them, to provide and ripen their character. And he then prepared them to march into the promised land. And this is what God does when he sends you on detours. So if you find yourself on a detour this morning, brothers and sisters, be encouraged. The destination has been programmed in. You will arrive, no matter if God for 40 years had to keep saying, recalculating. And then in the midst of the journey, you will find that the direction may be odd and all over the place. You may be trying to get north, but God says, I got to take you south first. But no matter what, when it's all said and done, you will grow from this. God is sending you on a detour to shape your character and to form you into a bold, godly man or woman of God that's strong and firm in your faith. In the Balkan Mountains, there are some of the world's most famous fragrant roses. From those roses are made some of the finest perfumes. However, in order to procure that lovely fragrance and to capture it in a bottle, it's all about timing. So scientists have taken a test to discover the proper intervals which the blossom give their most pleasant scents. And they've discovered that the rose are most fragrant in the darkest part of the night. And by the morning, the aroma fades by 40%. Therefore, the workers usually begin gathering just at the midnight. And then within 2 hours, they bring it to a close because the peak of the most fragrant flavors have ceased. And that's what I'm trying to say to you this morning, my brothers and sisters. Some of you may have driven into the darkness because God has sent your life on detour. But it is not for God to destroy you. He has driven you into the darkness that he may pour from you the sweet aroma of your life. Dark times are necessary, so embrace them as friend and not as foe. Adversity is your friend, is designed as a blessing in disguise. So the detours in your life are divinely inspired, so enjoy the journey. Jesus, when he came to the earth, he didn't take any detours. He took his direct route coming through 40 and 2 generations. And he stayed focused on the cross because his destination was set and he went 33 years. And he died on an old rugged cross, hung between 2 thieves from the 6th to the 9th hour. He was crucified on that old rugged cross. The blood ran from his body. He hung his head in the locks of his shoulder. He gave up the ghost. He said, "It is finished. Father, into your hand I commend my spirit." He died on that old rugged cross. They placed him in a burial tomb. But the record declares it was early on the 3rd day morning that he rose with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. And that same Jesus who rose with power is guiding your steps. And in the journey, there are some detours. But stay faithful on the journey. You will get there. But when you get there, you will have character that is shining like gold. God's word for God's people. God bless you this morning.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we hope that it was a blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.